You don't believe in any conspiracy theory?
Hey, we're recording the podcast. Shut up.
Good morning to you, wherever you are, because it is Morning Somewhere for March 25th, 2024. My name is Bernie Burns. With me, sitting right over there, the focus of my latest conspiracy theory. Ashley Burns, how you doing?
Happy Monday.
Happy Monday. It's a little bit of a bummer of a Monday.
Well, it's been some kind of heavy news over the
weekend.
Lots
of heavy news, man.
Which
lots
has contributed to a case of the Mondays.
And then we're back on Monday. We're doing another week of everybody. We're back at work. Here we go, everybody. Getting back at it. Let me say on behalf of everyone here in this room, and I think, if I may, everyone listening at home, when I say, fuck this shit. Let's all go do something else. I think, start off with a downbeat here, but I don't think we can't talk about it. If that's even a sentence.
can't not talk about it,
which is the Russian attack on the concert hall. There was an attack that killed in Russia, 137 people killed and 182 injured.
Jeez, how many killed? I'm
137.
Out of date. I mean, I had heard about this attack happening, and the last I'd heard it was 40 people had died, which at the time I thought was a lot, but that is a significant uptick.
Well, 100 people still remain in hospital. That's another difference between the UK and the US. Here they say in hospital as opposed to in the hospital. And I'm not sure why that is.
Maybe you go to the hospital, but being in hospital is a state of being.
Right. So 100 people still in the hospital. Currently, I'm going back to my American roots. in the hospital and 137 dead. So that number could climb depending. And the thing that's going on right now is who did this? And I think a lot of people feel like they know exactly who did it, but nobody is saying the same thing. At least currently when we're talking to you right now, the U.S. is saying ISIS did it. ISIS is saying ISIS did it. I assume that those channels that's being communicated through can be verified. And Russia is saying it's some combination of either ISIS or America and Ukraine in collusion. And there's even like talks of deep fakes and all this. There was a less than reputable paper in the UK was reporting that Russian state news aired a deep fake of the spy chief of Ukraine bragging about it. So it's one of those things you think in this day and age, how could we possibly be confused as to who did this? But there's people who have political agendas and they want to push it in a certain direction and they're going
to
do that.
Well, I think that even beyond that, we're to the point now where people are creating truths or they're creating facts, right? That's the like deep fakes and things like that. Like if the evidence doesn't exist, you can make it.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're once again in that position. How do I know what's real?
Well, I think I said on the podcast before that after 9/11 happened and then we pinned it, the US pinned it on Iraq. I thought, okay, well, that's the last time that can ever happen.
No one's going to get away with that again.
Because that was right before the...
Now with all the information of the internet at our fingertips now.
Yeah, and it's like, here's something that's happening right in front of our eyes, seemingly, and we can't pinpoint exactly who's the cause of it, or people are trying to subvert that. Let me give you another example that I don't think a lot of people know about. We're about to go full podcast mode here. Talk about the origins of the COVID pandemic. So... the COVID pandemic, when it started in late 2019, early 2020, since then, I would think that most people in the West would say, if you ask them, where did COVID come from, they would all give you pretty much the same answer, which is it came from
China.
Came from China, Wuhan, China. And there might be some discrepancy of it came from a wet market or a bio lab that's there in Wuhan, China. And I think a lot of people in the West would be shocked to learn that Mush is here. Like he's like hovering around us, like he's hunting us. I think they would be shocked to learn that there's many people in China who believe that COVID came from the West.
Wait, how?
And that COVID specifically was brought to China by American athletes in the Military Olympic Games, which took place in October 2019 in guess what city?
Wuhan.
Wuhan, China. Yeah.
This is the first, wait, Military Olympics?
Yeah.
That's the, I mean, that's a crazy conspiracy, but Military Olympics, that's the big takeaway for me from this. I had, didn't know that was a thing.
Oh, yeah, and it's like one of those things, how can we, you know, we're not going to be able to poll Chinese citizens, ask them, you know, what they believe or where it came from. But this was a big thing on social media early and midway through the pandemic. And even here, I have an article from military.com, March 12th, 2020. So right at the beginning of the U.S. pandemic, Chinese officials says U.S. Army may have brought the epidemic to Wuhan. And the theory is that traveling athletes as part of the American military came to Wuhan, and then the outbreak started after they left. And I mean, they must have brought it.
I mean, I understand why people would believe in that conspiracy, because the timing is very close there.
Right. And so, and it's one of those things where in the U.S., I think most people would find that absolutely shocking that there's any other theory at all as to where this thing came from. Because right. in the U.S., I think we're pretty ironclad that people know it came, at least the region it came from, and the source within that region, you know, the wet market or the, you know, leaked from a biolab or intentionally released from a biolab or whatever. I think that's the thing that most people don't would argue about. But nobody would argue, I don't think, in the West that it came from China.
Right, that it didn't come from there in some way.
It's a weird subject to talk about. I know it's a little bit of a heavy subject. It's a heavy weekend because the other thing that was raging in mass hysteria, Ashley, was Kate Middleton, Princess Kate. And she has recently resurfaced.
So we talked a little bit about this earlier, but there's been a lot going on in the media. I'm sure you've seen it, that she hadn't been really seen since Christmas. She underwent surgery in January, and then no one has seen her. The Buckingham Palace said that she wouldn't be seen until Easter, and then had no updates. There were no photos, nothing. And then Mother's Day happened in the UK, and she released a photo of her and her kids. And then AP News retracted that photo, saying that it had been manipulated at the source, but no real
kill order.
Yeah, no real detail on, you know, what that manipulation was, which just fueled, you know, a ton of speculation and got people asking, you know, kind of in a panic about it. She has resurfaced. She announced that at that abdominal surgery she had in January, she was diagnosed with cancer.
Yeah.
And that she's been undergoing chemo treatment.
And there was a very pointed part of that statement, which I'll paraphrase here, which she essentially said, yes, and it took me some time to inform my children of my condition. Yeah. And everyone's like, yeah, sorry. I mean, the you know, subtext there is, while you assholes were all hounding us to put out a photo of me, I'm busy trying to figure out how I'm going to tell my kids about this.
Yeah, and after like setting the world on fire with speculation about like just every crazy conspiracy.
Man, yeah, it's a young mother with cancer. It's just, God, ugh, man, it's just a bad situation.
Well, and it's tough because I realize that while she's a public figure, how much would, like, harder would it be to hear, you've got cancer. What's your PR plan?
Yeah. What's your strategy with the press on this one? I mean, if you're dealing with all that, then you have to go out of your way and figure out like how you're going to have to inform the world at large. It's just like, it's just, I don't know. It's when you get to that level, it must erase all of your humanity, you know, or erase all of your faith in humanity, the way people come at you constantly, constantly. Did you see that, Blake Lively went on Instagram and apologized for making fun of Photoshops?
Oh, I saw it. And, you know, to her credit, you know, that's not something that she necessarily had to do.
I didn't think she had to either.
There were a lot of people making jokes, and it's really easy, you know, for all of us to, like, get kind of caught up in the momentum of those kind of things. But, you know what? Credit to her for feeling like, I shouldn't have done that. I'm going to, you know, put my hand up, take responsibility and apologize. That it takes a lot to do that, especially because she's now the face of the media backlash.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So they've made the turn now, right? And now they're saying that it's not their fault that they hounded the palace for information on her whereabouts and her photo, now it's the palace's fault for not.
Well, so this specifically is, I went to the store today to like pick up some bread, and the front page of every single newspaper is now Kate Middleton. The British media hasn't had anything to work with in a while, right?
Yeah.
So every single one, front page, front and center. And a lot of them are also now like posting up pictures of Blake Lively next to it going, celebrities beg for forgiveness.
Oh, I mean, it's not inaccurate.
So, I mean, you know, but it, you know, it's definitely like putting her sort of like the face of now the media coming back at all the people who speculating. But
yeah.
she's going to be the one that they go after.
You know, I got to say too, it's really easy to lead into it. We have to talk, you know, on mic 20 to 30 minutes a day. We were faced with talking about this as well, Ashley. And I feel like we kept ourselves in check. Let's say we don't like talking about this because it's gossip about a human. We don't know anything. And ended by saying, we just hope everything's okay. Like assuming that there's probably something serious going on and that it's not our place to really talk about it, you know? So people can do that. They just choose not to do it. And I'm not talking about Blake Lively here. I'm talking about all of us at large, you know? We have this opinion online. It's beyond entitlement, because entitlement would be like, I should be able to ask about this. Like, where is the princess? It's a step above that. It's, I am owed this. I want to know this. I deserve to know this. It is your responsibility, and you are failing in your responsibility to tell me what I want to know. And that doesn't exist. That doesn't exist. Maybe, because she's a pseudo-government figure. Maybe, but I don't think that's what was driving this. I really don't. It was a fervor of people demanding, now putting out wild conspiracies about like infidelity, about her being cut out, about her being replaced with someone else and her children being replaced. It was wild stuff that I feel more comfortable talking about now that we know the truth of it. But it's just crazy how people get, it's like mass hysteria.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong, like the idea of a missing princess is, it's compelling, right? It's hard not to wonder. But there's a difference between like wondering and being concerned and being owed.
And at least Blake Lively is out there going, yeah, I made a mistake. I got wrapped up in this and I shouldn't have. And that's on me. It seems like everyone else now is saying like, no, we should still be mad at the royal family because they let us on, or
yeah,
they didn't cave to our demand, so it's their fault.
Yeah, I will say, like, credit to, like, Buckingham Palace is they, back, I think it was, like, in January, said that she wouldn't be doing any engagements until Easter, and they weren't going to say anything else.
Yeah.
And they really did. They actually, they held that line pretty hard. They didn't, like, even when everyone was going nuts, they you know, respected her privacy. And until she was ready to make this video, which I suspect was pushed up a bit in terms of schedule. But there were a lot of people being like, how could you guys let us get so far out of whack?
Yeah. The crazy thing about that too is this situation happened in the US.
The term gaslighting refers to when someone...
This situation happened in the US just recently.
What?
Because the defense secretary for the Biden administration, he disappeared for, I want to say, like a week while on duty, while in his office, and didn't inform anybody. Like even the people that he worked with and in the Biden administration didn't know he was missing. Here, let me.
He was just like in his office and he like disappeared behind a poster of Raquel Welch, and then no one saw him for a week.
It wasn't quite like that. This is from the Huffington Post. This is an article by Lolita Baldur, January 6, 2024. A Pentagon mystery. Why was Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin's hospital stay kept secret for days? And it talks about how members of the Biden administration, senior Biden administration leaders, top Pentagon officials, and members of Congress were unaware for days that Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin had been hospitalized since Monday. U.S. officials said Saturday as questions swirled about his conditions and the secrecy surrounding it. And this is a person, a defense secretary, arguably an incredibly important job when you're leading the most important military, most powerful military in the world. The guy was missing. Nobody knew about it. Not even the people he worked with.
It is weird. Like, I can see why. I mean, I heard about this, you know, after the fact, which makes sense.
Right.
As, you know, as a I don't know, national defense.
Yeah, you and the president.
Secret or whatever. Right. But the idea that, like, the president, no one bothered telling him that his defense secretary was in the hospital is a little bit nuts.
Yeah, yeah. And it's, at the very least, it makes him look terrible and everything else. But the part I'm trying to make here is, like, this is an important job. Like, this is a really important job. Nobody really seemed to care.
No one felt owed.
Like, it went away really quickly. Or more importantly, nobody even noticed the guy was missing for a while. You know? And it's like, and here's this person being hounded, you know what I mean? To the point where people are like, you owe us this information. But you were talking about how everyone has now made the turn, which always happens in the internet sleuth fests. There's always the turn at which it turns out to be nothing, or it turns out to be totally different than what they thought. And then the sleuths all try to, like, do damage control and try to blame it on somebody else. There's a big turn going on right now in dork culture, Ashley. There's the X-Men 97 cartoon just came out.
Yeah.
It's a series. I think it's on Netflix. I was never a big fan of the 1990s X-Men series, even though I was a big comic book dork. For some reason, never watched it. It's beloved, though, to people who grew up with that stuff. I was probably just too old for it at that point. And this thing, it harkens back to that. Everybody loves it. But before it came out, and I don't really know why, people were really upset with it. I guess it was because it was too woke, even though the X-Men is all about...
isn't that like the epitome of woke? That's
it's all about persecution and representation.
Star Trek.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, exactly. And yeah, now that it's out and it's a big hit, everyone's like suddenly dead silent about it. And they've moved on to apparently now the Star Wars Acolyte trailer. And they're all blood in the water. They're all so excited that it's got more dislikes than likes on the YouTube trailer. And that's going to make a huge difference. It won't. Once again, I can't figure out what the fuck they're upset about with this Acolyte trailer.
There's like a certain element of people online who the way they like enjoy stuff is to hate stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. It feels like to me that people who get like really intense in fandoms, they suck the life out of something. They extract so much value from it, as much as they can. And then it gets to the point where the only thing that's left for this is to enjoy the heat of burning it down, basically, you know? And that's, you see it time and time again,
I got all the blood out of this stone. Now, what do I do with this stone except hit people with it?
Throw it into the fucking ocean.
By the way, it is on, this is appropriate, Disney Plus.
What is?
Is X-Men 97.
Oh, it's Disney Plus.
And,
okay.
So yeah, so whether it's the X-Men of yesterday or the Acolyte trailer of today, Disney's really enjoying that limelight.
I saw the first episode and it was pretty freaking dope, I have to admit, for an X-Men thing.
For X-Men. Yeah, everyone has great things to say.
You know, we were watching an X-Men recently. In a show we're watching. I wonder if you know he's from the X-Men.
I don't know that I do.
So we're watching, what's the show we just started watching?
We just started watching The Gentlemen, the Netflix series that's based on Guy Ritchie's movie of the same name.
And this was great because Ashley started watching it before me. And then as a dutiful partner, she said, I think Bernie would like this. And so this could be a couple's thing. So she paused it. She came and found me. We rewound to the beginning and we started watching it together. And doing my part in the couple watching Netflix together, I immediately fell asleep.
To be fair, you were very tired. It is still good.
I got a great night's sleep. I was so happy about it. But the X-Men who's in that, he's not an X-Men. He's a villain. Vinnie Jones, the former footballer who's in a lot of Guy Ritchie stuff, who plays the Heavy.
Who's he in X-Men?
Vinnie Jones played Juggernaut in the X-Men movies.
No way.
And, can I talk? I'm going to talk about something. Could be a spoiler for the new Deadpool movie.
Is it? Okay, hold on.
Kind of, but it's out in the press.
Spoiler or theory?
No, this is more of a spoiler, potentially.
Okay.
Potentially. At least a little bit. I don't think it's that big of a spoiler, but I have to warn about everything. I don't want to get more dislikes than uplikes or whatever the fuck it is. Who knows? But he recently was in the press because he said he turned down Deadpool and Wolverine or whatever it's called. He turned it down because he didn't want to put the Juggernaut suit back on. That suit was just a pain in the ass to him, and he said no. That sounds like a weird reason. It didn't seem like that crazy of a suit to wear. But what that revealed to me was, and this isn't too much of a shock based on the trailer, there's going to be some variant stuff, like because it uses the Loki, the what's the
Bureau? TVA.
The TVA. So I guess they're going to have different variants of different things in there. And they have a great juggernaut in Deadpool. Amazing. That big digital juggernaut who's in Deadpool 2. And they were going to have, I guess, Vinnie Jones come in as a variant from the live action stuff.
Cool. Nice little like cameo or tie things together or something.
But since you asked for a theory, here's my theory. And this is just a theory. I think that they are going to have a bunch of different Wolverines. And I think what they're going to do with this movie is they are going to use it to throw a lot of paint at the wall and figure out what sticks for a Wolverine in the MCU.
Interesting.
Could be all different kinds. Could be, do you know who one of the people is theorized to be Wolverine in MCU?
No, who? Spill.
Daniel Radcliffe.
No, really? Interesting.
From Harry Potter to Wolverine. How the hell did that guy get out from under Harry Potter?
Oh, no, I can tell you how he got out from under Harry Potter. You mean like getting out of the like single role? Immediately he went and hung dong on stage.
to a horse.
With a horse.
Listen, if you're going to hang dong, doing it right next to a horse might not be the place to do it, man. That's a bold move creatively.
but it also shows you got dong. But it's, you know, it's the same sort of like, you need to go out there and have like a shock thing, right? You know, similar like, you know, Miley Cyrus saw that and was like, I got you, and went and like rode a wrecking ball or whatever. Same thing as like a Christina Aguilera. She had like Dirty Sexy. You know,
keep going. You're gonna get like, to my favorite one.
Who's your favorite one?
Elizabeth Berkley in Showgirls, because she was in Saved by the Bell, and then she went to go make Showgirls. And we've been kicking around ideas for the upcoming Patreon, but one of the ones that I threw out was maybe on a regular basis, like once a month or something like that. That we do a movie night where we watch a movie together and we comment on it, and then we put out the audio commentary so people can watch it with it. Eric was talking about it for Stephen King, and I thought that's a great idea to do something for like a Patreon. Yeah,
well, I've never seen Showgirls, so
I would love to show you Showgirls.
Show me Elizabeth Berkley's coming of age, breaking the
no pun intended.
Really?
I hear she's finally embraced it and likes the movie.
Good for her.
Yeah, I think it's great. I mean, it's one of those movies, a lot of people call it like a bad movie that you love, but
I've only seen the movie poster, but it looks hot.
It's got Gina Gershon in it too.
Hey, what's up?
Can't go wrong with that. All right. Well, we're running a little long here, so that does it for us today, Monday, March 25th, 2024. Ashley, I think you and I will be back to talk to them tomorrow.
Seems likely.
We hope you all will be here as well.
Bye, everybody.